Translation: it is not your fault. It is the verdict of the scriptures. You cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by scholarship. Purport: this is a very important verse. Even big scholars cannot understand Krishna, yet they dare to comment on the Bhagavad Gita. Reading the Bhagavad Gita means understanding Krishna, yet we actually see many scholars making blunders in trying to understand Krishna. Gopinath Acharya's statement is confirmed in many places in the Vedic literature. In the Katha Upanishad 1.2.23, it is stated, Nayam atma pravachanena labhyo na medhayana bahuna shrutena yame vaise vrinute tena labhya stasyesha atma vivrunute tanum svam. It is also stated in Katha Upanishad 1.2.9, Nesha tarkena matir apaneya proktana yeva sugyaya preshtha Yam tvam apa satya dhritir batashi tvadrinna bhuyan nachiketa prashtha. The fact is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, cannot be attained simply by explanations, logic, and erudite scholarship. One cannot understand him simply by one's brain substance. Even by studying all the Vedic literatures, one cannot understand the Supreme Lord. However, if one is slightly favored by the mercy of the Lord, if the Lord is pleased, one can understand him. But who are the candidates eligible to receive the mercy of the Lord? Only the devotees. They alone can understand what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord reveals himself to the sincere devotee when he is pleased with his service. Svayam eva spurat yada. One should not try to understand the Lord simply from the statements of the Vedas, nor should one uselessly attempt to decry these statements through reasoning and logic. Srila Prabhupada ki. So with the permission of the Vaishnavas, we'll try to share some thoughts and words. Prabhupada says this is a very, very important verse. One cannot understand the Supreme Lord simply through scholarship. Brahma had four heads. That means four brains. Brahma's entire body was made of intelligence. Brahma was directly instructed by the Supreme Lord and had a darshan of Vaikuntha. Yet Brahma could not understand Krishna. Brahma, after the whole Vimohan Leela, came in front of Krishna and said, Janante eva janantu kim bahuktya name prabhu manaso vapuso vacho vaivavam tava gochara. Jananta eva janantu. There are many people in this world who say, I know Krishna. Isn't it? Sometimes you meet on the street. I am knowing Krishna. I've read the Bhagavad Gita. I know. What's your favorite chapter? Number 19. Sorry, there is no 19. Yes, people say, Brahma says, so many people, Jananta eva janantu. Yes, yes, I know Krishna, I know Krishna. What does Brahma say? Kim bahuktya name prabhu. So many people may say they know Krishna. If you ask me, I don't know Krishna at all. Manaso vapuso vacho. Vaibhavam tava gochara. Vaibhavam means opulence. He says Krishna's opulence, Krishna's glory, manaso, it goes beyond my imagination. Vapuso, it goes beyond my power to perceive through my senses. Vacho, it goes beyond my power to describe by my words. Who can understand Krishna? Even Brahma is coming before the Lord and saying, I don't know anything about you. So therefore, Gopinath Acharya is stating these points to Sarvabhauma, who is a big scholar, who's learned so many things. But Sarvabhauma, although he has learned so many things, he's missed one thing. Prashadaleshanugrihita eva hi janati tattvam. If you are bereft of even 1 ounce of mercy, if you don't have prasad, janati tattvam, don't even think you can approach the truth of the Supreme Lord. Bhagavan Mahimno, you will never be able to understand how great the Lord is unless you are favored by some mercy. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching through these pastimes what it takes to enter into Vraja Prem. Vraja Prem means only those who have Vraja Prem understand Krishna in his totality. Therefore, you can say Jagannath Puri is like a university of Vraja Prem. Like now we're developing School of Bhakti. So it's like we're doing franchising. So we're like, anyone around the world who wants to develop School of Bhakti. But then we call Bhaktivedanta Manor School of Bhakti, School of Bhakti headquarters. But actually, the School of Bhakti headquarters is Jagannath Puri. The School of Prema Bhakti headquarters is Jagannath Puri. Because Jagannath Puri is the place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, and through his time of 24 years in Jagannath Puri, he explains and he shows and he demonstrates how Jagannath Puri is actually the university of Vraja Prem. When Mahaprabhu comes to Jagannath, well, why does Mahaprabhu come to Jagannath Puri? First of all, you have to understand how special Jagannath Puri is. Jagannath Puri is the ideal place to have the university of Vraja Prem, because who is in Jagannath Puri? Jagannath. And who is Jagannath? Krishna feeling incredible separation from Radharani. And who is Mahaprabhu? Krishna, who's taken the mood of Radharani, feeling extreme separation from Krishna. So when Krishna, who is feeling separation from Radharani, comes face to face with Radharani, who's feeling intense separation from Krishna, and they come face to face, then you can understand there's going to be some fireworks. And therefore Mahaprabhu comes in to Jagannath Puri, and Mahaprabhu in the mood, Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Krishna Naomi Swarupam. Yes, he's Krishna Swarupam, but he's come in Radha Bhav. And as he comes in Radha Bhav into the Jagannath Puri temple, and he comes in front of Jagannath, then he faints down. So Jagannath Puri is a very, very special place, because it's the place where the heights of spiritual ecstasy are taking place. Therefore, Jagannath Puri is known as Viraha Kshetra or Vipralamba Kshetra. In Jagannath Puri, in this university of Vraja Prem in Jagannath Puri, there are different classrooms. One classroom is the Jagannath Temple. That's the general classroom. That's where everyone comes. And that's where Mahaprabhu also comes. In that classroom in Jagannath Puri, in the Jagannath Temple, in public view, Mahaprabhu shows what is ecstasy. In that classroom, the public classroom of Jagannath Puri in the Jagannath Temple, Mahaprabhu stands by the Garuda Stambha one day, and the Orissan lady comes in, steps on him, looking to see Jagannath, and Mahaprabhu very much appreciates her eagerness and enthusiasm. So there are different classrooms. One classroom in Jagannath Puri is the general classroom, but then there is another classroom in Jagannath Puri, which is the private classroom. The private classroom in the University of Vraja Prem is at Kashi Mishra's house. And there in the Gambira, surrounded by Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, Mahaprabhu undergoes private tutorials, private sessions, just a few select associates who together are relishing and going deeper into these ecstasies. Gopi Bhavara Samritabdi Lahari, the waves of the ecstasy of the gopis. So the University of Vraja Prem has different classrooms. The University of Vraja Prem the school of Prema Bhakti has different teachers. So Mahaprabhu, when he comes to Jagannath Puri, he has different teachers. Ramananda Rai is Vishakha Devi, he's one teacher. Swarup Damodar is Lalita Sakhi, he's another teacher. Gadada Pandit is Radharani herself. And Mahaprabhu with Gadada Pandit also learns many things, reciting Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, every day in Jagannath Puri, hearing Bhagavatam from Gadada Pandit. So like this, there are many, many teachers in Jagannath Puri, University of Rajaprem. The entrance qualification into the University of Rajaprem is that all impersonalism must be cut out. Therefore, there's no entrance to Rajaprem until impersonalism is rooted out of our character. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu comes to Jagannath Puri, the very first thing, the very first interaction, the very first pastime, the very first lesson, the very first notable incident and teaching in Jagannath Puri is the liberation of Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya from impersonalism. Jivair nishtara lage sutre koilavyas, mayavadi bhasya sunile hoya sarvanash. Jivair nishtara lagi, because the living entities needed to be elevated, sutre koilavyas, Vyasadev was very, very merciful. He compiled the entire Vedanta Sutra just to uplift the living entities. However, mayavadi bhasya sunile hoya sarvanash. But if you hear the mayavadi explanation of the Vedanta Sutra, hoya sarvanash, everything is lost. Therefore, impersonalism towards Krishna must be rooted out. Every day is quite interesting. You go in front into the BMF office and we have beautiful deities of Radha and Krishna in there. So every day when we go into, I go into the office in the morning, then the first thing you do is you go into the door and you bow down. But then when you stand up and look in front of Radha and Krishna, there's two options. Because for those of you who have been in the office, there's a mirror right behind Radha and Krishna. And it's very interesting, because every day when I go in, I catch myself. When I stood up, did I look at myself first in the mirror, or did I see Radha and Krishna first? Today I saw Radha and Krishna first. Because there was no power. I couldn't see. There's no light to see myself. Yes, impersonalism right in front of Krishna, but still rooted in self-absorption, not treating Krishna like a person. Unless and until one overcomes impersonalism, there is no chance of experiencing Vrajaprem. Impersonalism comes in many shapes and forms. This is also interesting. I won't go too much into this. This can be a different class. To understand how much we have been overcome by impersonalism, impersonalism pervades every aspect, not just our relationship with Krishna. You know, our impersonalism also pervades our interaction within a Vaishnava community. When we are insensitive to how others are feeling about how we're carrying ourselves, when we're not responsive and taking feedback when devotees give it to us, thinking, I want to make sure those around me feel comfortable, that is an exhibition of impersonalism. And with that level of insensitivity and impersonalism, which is displayed within a community of Vaishnavas, that blocks one's ability to access Vrajaprem. Did you know you could also be impersonal towards the conditioned soul? Because when you walk past conditioned souls and you don't feel their suffering, you don't feel the need to help them, you don't feel that I must try to do something to assist them in their life, that is another form of impersonalism. Because behind all of these faces that you see on the high street, there are tragic stories. But the fact that we're not able to see that means that we have impersonalism. Impersonalism towards Krishna, impersonalism towards the Vaishnavas, impersonalism towards the living entities, and because of this impersonalism, no chance to access Vrajaprem. So the first thing Mahaprabhu teaches when he comes into the Jagannath Puri University of Vrajaprem is he says the entrance qualification is that Mayavad must be rooted out. And so that's what he does to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya goes from one extreme of Mayavad to becoming like a Premi Bhakta. He just, Mahaprabhu just, Hare Krishna. Mahaprabhu takes him from one extreme to the other. One day Mahaprabhu comes to Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. And you know, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, I'll recite one verse from the Bhagavatam. So Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya recites a very famous verse from the Bhagavatam. Tattenukampam shishamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam ridvag vapurbir vidadan namaste jivetayo bhakti pade sadaya bhak jivetayo bhakti pade sadaya bhak. Mahaprabhu says, come again. He says, jivetayo bhakti pade sadaya bhak. Mahaprabhu says, that's not the correct reading. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, jive toto bhakti pade sadai. No, that's not the right reading. Mahaprabhu looks at him and he said, the reading is jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya says, I can't say the word mukti. I'm allergic to the word mukti. Mukti shabde kohite mane hoya grinatrash bhakti shabde kohite mane hoyata ulash. Oh, this is required? It's actually nicer without a mic. It's required. Okay. Hare Krishna. Mukti shabde kohite mane hoya grinatrash. He says, when I hear the word mukti, feelings of envy and hatred come up in me. This is Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, who was a Mayavadi. Bhakti shabde kohite mane hoya ta ulash. But when I hear bhakti, I feel like standing up and dancing. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya couldn't even bring himself to say the word mukti, so much so that he changed a verse from Bhagavatam. Mahaprabhu, how you change a verse from the Bhagavatam? This Shastra. How can you change? He says, I just can't say mukti. I can't say it. It's too much. Shunya hashaya, what's that? Shunita shunye hashaya prabhu. Anandite mane Bhattacharya koile prabhu drida alingane. Shunya, listening, Hashaya prabhu, Mahaprabhu started laughing. Anandite mane, and in his mind he felt incredible joy. So much so, Bhattacharya kohe prabhu, he went up to the Bhattacharya drida alingane, and he tightly embraced him. He said, my boy, you've done well. He was very happy. It's so interesting. He goes from one extreme to the other. The entrance qualification for the University of Vrajaprem is that all impersonalism must be rooted out. And not just impersonalism towards Krishna, impersonalism towards the Vaishnavas, impersonalism towards all living entities. Without going on a tangent, it's very, very interesting actually, when someone is insensitive towards other devotees and seemingly impersonal, you know what it is actually? It's actually a cry for personalism. Because when someone is insensitive towards others, what they're actually doing is they're crying for attention. And why do they want attention? Because they want to have a personal relationship. It's so amazing, isn't it? When we express our impersonalism, it's actually a cry for personalism. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. We won't go into that now. But it's so interesting how impersonalism is rooted within us. Therefore, when the devotee came to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, Prabhupada, so much about Mayavad, so much about impersonalism, there are no impersonalists here." Prabhupada said, "You are saying because you are impersonalism. You are an impersonalist, that's why you say. You may not have the philosophy of impersonalism, but it manifests in so many different ways through the way you carry yourself. But for Vraja Prem, impersonalism must be rooted out. That's the entrance qualification. So just to recap, just to make sure you're listening. In the University of Vraja Prem, what are the classrooms? Jagannath Temple is one classroom. What's the other classroom? Gambira. Public tutorial, private tutorial. In the University of Vraja Prem, who are the teachers? Ramananda Rai. Swarup Damodar. Gadadhar Pandit. What is the entrance qualification? All impersonalism must be rooted out. And what is the lesson? What is the lesson of the university? In any university in this world, you graduate when you become a scholar. When you've actually understood all the knowledge, then aced all the exams, then you're qualified to graduate. In the University of Vraja Prem, you have to go beyond being a scholar. You have to go from being a scholar to being a beggar. The University of Vraja Prem and the graduates are beggars. They've learned the art of how to cry for Krishna, how to beg for mercy. They've learned how to internalize the desperation, realizing, ha ha, kvayami ke maham karomi. What will I do in Kali Yuga is so difficult. The senses are so strong. My mind is crazy. Shri Bhakti Marga ihakanta kakoti ruddha. And this beautiful path of bhakti is spiked with so many thorns. Ha ha, kvayami ke maham karomi. What will I do? How will I survive? How will I make it? Chaitanya Chandra Yadi Nadya Kripam Karoshi. I'm just crying out, begging, praying that Krishna may give me His mercy. Mercy is such an interesting thing, because on one hand, you can't, nothing will happen without mercy. On another hand, there's nothing you can do to ensure you get mercy. That's like, think, oh God, that's a bummer, you know? The one thing you actually require to make everything else work in your spiritual life is the one thing you have no power to induce by your own effort. But because what is the definition of mercy? It means something that is given to an undeserving person. So if mercy by definition is something given to an undeserving person, it means there's nothing you can do to make yourself deserving of it. I was speaking with Janakinath Prabhu yesterday, and Janakinath Prabhu told me some funny stories sometimes. Anyway, he told me one story. It's related to mercy, so I'll tell it to you. There was one person who was selling apples, and they became a millionaire selling apples. So one, Janakinath told me this story, all complaints can go to him. So one person came up to this person and said, "How in the world you became a millionaire by selling apples? How do you become a millionaire selling apples?" So he goes, "I went into the market and I bought one apple. And then I sold it to someone for a profit. And with that profit, on the second day, I went back to the market and I bought 2 apples. And then I sold 2 apples for a profit. And with that profit, on the third day, I went to the market and I bought 3 apples. And then I sold 3 apples. And for the profit, I went back to the market and bought 4 apples. So the person's thinking, like, where's this going? You became a millionaire. So he goes, on the fourth day, I went back to the market, I bought 4 apples. Next day, I sold those 4 apples for a profit, and I went back to the market. And on the fifth day, when I was walking to the market, I got a telephone call. And the telephone call was from a relative, and the relative said, your great-great-great-great-grandmother has passed away, and she's left you £1 million. He said, that's how I became a millionaire, by selling apples. So I thought it was quite an interesting story, because sometimes spiritual life feels like selling apples. Like you read all of this, like ecstasy, jumping off the ground, Ashtashatvika bhavs, like this amazing like wealth of spiritual experience. And you're thinking, I'm just selling 1 apple for a little profit in the market. I mean, I don't think I'm getting anywhere here. But the great news is that we are like the person selling apples. Day to day, it might not seem like so much is happening. But if you carry on, determined, dedicated, patient, magic happens along the journey of Krishna consciousness, because the Vaishnavas smile on you, Mahaprabhu smiles on you, and Krishna smiles on you. And then some inconceivable mercy comes. Shri Radha Gokulanandi ki, Sitaram Lakshmi Hanuman ki jai. Shri Gaurinitai ki jai. Some inconceivable mercy comes. And by that mercy, all of our shortcomings, all of our imperfections, all of our anartas, all of our difficulties are overcome. Therefore, one must become a beggar. All the Vaishnava acharyas were beggars. Prabhupada came to America and he writes in his poem, Boro Kripa Koile Krishna Adhamir Prati. He says, Krishna, you are very kind. You gave me so much mercy, but I don't know why you've brought me here. And then at the end of the poem, Prabhupada signs it off, signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar. We must beg for mercy. That's the only way. That's the only way we will be able to overcome the mountain of anartas that we have. We have to, as they say, learn the art of how to cry for Krishna. One time Prabhupada was giving, there was a lake and there were some pigeons, so he was giving some breadcrumbs, and the, not pigeons, what do you call it? Ducks. So there was one duck and Prabhupada was giving more. Like, this duck is getting mercy, you know? So then the devotees asked, Prabhupada, why are you giving more to that duck and not the other ducks? Prabhupada said, because that duck is quacking the loudest. That duck is quacking the loudest. We can't force mercy, but we can pray for mercy. We can beg Krishna for mercy. We have to become desperate. Only when that desperation is there can we really connect with Krishna. It's very interesting, when you read the Bhagavad Gita, then what is the title of the first chapter of the Gita? Arjun Vishad Yoga. You know what the word Vishad means? Depression, dejection, lamentation. extreme feeling of misfortune. So the title of the first chapter is The Yoga of Desperation, The Yoga of Despair, The Yoga of Dejection. And you think, hang on, yoga means to connect with Krishna. How can, you know, like imagine you put up a title, we're doing a new course, The Yoga of Dejection. Who wants to join? The Yoga of Dejection, The Yoga of Desperation, The Yoga of Complete Despair. Anyone want to join? It's the yoga, it will connect you. Very interesting, isn't it? The beginning of Bhagavad Gita is that until and unless one feels that desperation, unless one feels that lamentation, unless one feels the need that I need mercy, I need help, I'm nowhere, the other 17 chapters of the Gita don't make any sense to you. Arjun finished the job in 45 minutes. Nashto moha smriti labdva. My illusion has gone. Smriti labdva. All my memory has come back. Tvat prasadat. All by your mercy. Why? Because he was open. And why was he open? Because he was desperate. And why was he a desperate? Because he had learned the art of how to become a beggar. If one learns the art of how to become a beggar, then they open themselves up to receive the mercy of Krishna. And when that mercy of Krishna comes, everything changes in our life. And so, as we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're reading this very beautiful pastime of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, then we can actually understand that Mahaprabhu comes to Jagannath Puri to nourish his own internal purpose to experience the feelings of Radharani. But when we look very, very closely, then Mahaprabhu is also teaching us what it means if we also want to go on that path. Do we want to enter the University of Raja Prem and graduate to Goloka Vrindavan? If the answer is yes, then remember, number one, you need to have different types of classroom in your life. One classroom is the public classroom, but the other classroom in your life has to be the place where you come together with Vaishnavas in a more intimate way and try to deeply enter into the scriptures in a much more personal and nourishing way. If you want to graduate from this university, then you need many teachers. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. The Bhagavatam can be relished by the rasika bhakta, the connoisseurs of devotion, those who have learned the subtleties and the beauty of every single verse of the Bhagavatam. So one must surround themselves with such Vaishnavas. One must find such devotees who are shabde pare cha nishnatam brahma nyupa shamashrayam, who are absorbed in the vibration of the Bhagavatam. If one wants to graduate from this university, then they won't even be able to get into the university if first they have not overcome their impersonalism. And the ultimate lesson of this university is that you can only graduate when you go beyond being a scholar. You actually have to come to the point of being a beggar. Because bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dhan, bhakti e namir Krishna smarana krandan. Rupa Goswami says in Padyavali, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga dhan. My friend, my brothers, you want bhakti? You want bhakti? Do you really want the wealth of bhakti? Bhakti e Krishna namer, take Krishna's name. Smarana krandan. You know what the word krandan means? Krandan means you have to cry. Bhakti e Krishna namer, smarana krandan. Take the name which is which contains the full potential to awaken bhakti within you and chant it by crying. But what kind of krandan? Atma krandan, the cry of the soul. Not the cry of the emotions, not the cry because someone said something to me that I didn't like, not the cry because the person I really wanted to be together with is not there. Not the cries, Guru Govinda Maharaj said, not crocodile tears. Not the tears of the mind. Not the tears of frustration because you got beat up by the material world. Not the tears of, you know, things didn't go my way. No, the cry, Atma Krandan. The cry of the soul. The deep longing of the soul to connect with Krishna. As one devotee says, this is the path of passive conquest. The path of crying for Krishna. So this is what is explained in this beautiful section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu is telling Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya in no uncertain terms that you have missed the whole point because you're simply remaining on the level of being a scholar. Therefore, you have not graduated. Now you have to learn, my dear Sarvabhauma, to become a beggar. To always be seeking Krishna's mercy. And we have to somehow place ourselves in that way. That's why books like Brihad Bhagavatamrita are very, very useful for us. Because in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the first part, Narad Muni is going on a journey. And Narad Muni is going on a journey to find out what? Who is the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy? He sees a brahmana in Prayag. The brahmana says, no, no, not me. Go to the southern king. He goes to the southern king. The southern king says, no, no, not me. Go to Indra. Goes to Indra. Indra says, not me. Go to Brahma. Brahma says, not me. Go to Shiva. Shiva says, not me. Go to Prahlad. Prahlad says, not me, go to Hanuman. Hanuman says, not me, go to the Pandavas. The Pandavas say, not us, go to the Yadavas. The Yadavas said, yeah, we got mercy, but one of us got the most. Go to Uddhava. Uddhava says, I got mercy, but Krishna then sent me to the place where those individuals were showered with the greatest mercy. And Uddhava said, that is Raja. There you have to go to the gopis of Raja because they got the most mercy. But it's a very, very interesting story because as you go to every single one of those individuals, you actually realize that every single one of them got the mercy. And every single one of them did different things that allowed them to attract the mercy of Krishna. And when you look at all of those secrets of mercy that are given in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, then they give you incredible insight into how we can attract mercy in our life. So basically, we are mercy cases, because as we were hearing yesterday, prasada leshanu grihita eva hi janati tatvam. If you are bereft of even a trace of mercy, prasad, janati tatvam, you will never be able to understand the truth. Bhagavan mahimno, you will never be able to enter into the mystery of Krishna. So our prayer, as Narad Muni prays actually in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Shri Krishna Chandra Tasyapi Triptir Astu Kadapiya Bhavato Nugraha Bhakta Premni Chanandi. What last one? Premna Chanandi. Forgot the last word. But he says, may the living entities never feel that they have attracted enough mercy in their life. May they always go through their journey in this life feeling, I need more mercy, I need more mercy, I need more mercy. May the living entities always be hungry always be in a mood of desperation and always be begging, because this is the only way in which one can enter into the mysteries of the Supreme Lord. Okay, so I could say more, but maybe we'll open it up and see whether anyone has any comments, any questions, any reflections, anything they would like to add. Yes, Bro. You can speak and I'll repeat it.
Maybe there's a stage beyond begging that somehow he realized when he started to compose verses of glorification for devotees. He saw that he just, you know, did these asticos of, you know, different devotees, and he just wanted to tell everyone about these wonderful devotees that Mahaprabhu and his associates, you know, somehow gave their mercy to him. And so he wanted to show his appreciation in so many ways, and that was through wonderful glorifications of the devotees. Somehow, that was the final culmination. When he just was in that boat of glorification.
Yes, this is a thank you for raising this. This is a very important point that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining in Madhurya Kadambini, that Krishna's mercy follows the mercy of a devotee like a thread follows a nail, a needle. Krishna's mercy follows the mercy of the devotee like a thread follows a needle. Therefore, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya prana na rakhibo ar. He's praying to the Vaishnavas, Karuna na hoile, if I don't get your mercy, if I don't get your favor, kandiya kandiya, I'll just cry and cry, prana na rakhibo ar, I'll cry so much that I won't be able to maintain my life. You have this experience sometimes, I don't know if it ever happened to anyone. When you were a kid, you cry. You know, sometimes kids cry. Well, kids cry all the time. But I don't know if it happened to anyone here. Sometimes when you're a kid, you cry so much that you can't breathe properly. Ever have that experience? You see sometimes children, they cry so much that they can't even breathe. So it's explained like this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya prana na rakhibo ar, that if I don't get the mercy of the Vaishnavas, I will cry and cry and cry, and I'll cry so much that I won't even be able to breathe. And if I can't breathe, prana na rakhibo ar, I will not be able to maintain my life. In this way he petitions his spiritual mother. Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Diya, Koroe Dase, Trena Pekate Hina. So, yes, one must seek the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And it becomes very, very clear, actually. Why, actually, I can speak for myself, not speaking for anyone else, that one can see the other way. That one loses the favor of the Vaishnavas. One loses the grace of the devotees. One loses the good wishes of the Vaishnava community And therefore, spiritual life becomes very, very difficult. But when the Vaishnavas are praying, when the Vaishnavas are wishing you well, when the Vaishnavas are smiling, then Krishna's mercy follows. And therefore, yes, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya understood that point. And similarly, Vallabhacharya was chastised by Mahaprabhu because he began finding faults in the devotees. Whereas Mahaprabhu, Pancha Mukha, it said that when Mahaprabhu would glorify his Vaishnavas, it was as if he had five mouths. So yes, definitely Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya understood this point and he had great regard for the Vaishnavas. And this is also explained that the one saving grace for Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, you know why he was actually able to get the grace of Mahaprabhu? Because he had a brother-in-law. And the brother-in-law's name was Gopinathacharya. And Gopinathacharya may not have been a scholar, but he was a beggar. He was a beggar of Krishna's mercy. And because Sarvabhauma had some regard for Gopinathacharya, therefore, that was the entrance in. That was his good fortune. So yes, where the Vaishnavas are close, where the Vaishnavas are giving mercy, that is a great secret. Thank you. Yes. I think that. These questions are difficult to answer because every situation is different. In some situations, of course, we are expressing our personality, and in other situations, we're repressing our personality because of consideration of those around us. The ultimate answer is that one must be introspective and ask themselves, am I expressing my personalism out of ego? Am I expressing my personalism, my so-called personalism, because I feel angry or I feel unjustly treated? Am I expressing it because, you know, I want to make a point? That kind of expressionism of so-called personalism is rooted in impersonalism. But there is an expression of personalism which is very pure, which is very innocent, and in which one is genuinely doing it with a loving sentiment and a good motivation. That kind of personalism is very much wanted. So one simply has to be introspective. And no one can give you that answer except you yourself in your own heart. And so in Krishna consciousness, there's no substitute for being introspective. Prabhupada said, a devotee should be as introspective as a non-devotee is speculative. That's a good statement, huh? Nice. As speculative as a non-devotee is, a devotee should be that introspective. In a public class, we will say principles, but only you know what's in your heart. And only you, if you want to, can face that. So, yes, we must look deep within. There is impersonalism. We're blocked. Mayavadi bhashya sunile hoya sarvanas. This verse appears in this chapter. Jiver nishtar lage sutre koilo vyas mayavadi bhasya sunile hoya sarvanash. Is specifically referring to the Mayavad commentary which covers the Vedanta Sutra, but you can understand this verse in a more all-encompassing way, that Vyas, the great teachers, the parampara, came to give personalism, but now by adopting an impersonal approach, even if you're not an impersonalist philosopher, if you adopt an impersonal approach to spiritual life, hoya sarvanash, again it's all lost. Again it's all lost. So this is requires very reflective mentality. Not so easy. there's a big Mayavadi within that has to be. Therefore we need mercy. How will we overcome impersonalism? Just by study, it won't be enough. We need mercy. Therefore, Narad says, pray that all living entities may never think, I got enough mercy, I'm okay, I got enough. No, I need more. Yes, Prabhu, David. Your question was the same, okay. Fine.
Thank you for such a deep and esoteric class. It's just unbelievable what you're sharing with us and the depth of your knowledge. I guess I'm sort of a very sort of like practical and simple person. And one of the things that you were just mentioning was that the definition of mercy is something that's given to someone who's undeserving. And if it's undeserving, then how do you invoke that?
I told you, that's why it's very complicated. It's not complicated, it's just inconceivable. Mercy means ahaituki. The Sanskrit word is ahaituki. It means no hetu. Hetu means a cause. So all mercy is causeless. Because if it had a cause, then it wouldn't be mercy. Because mercy means you can do nothing to invoke it. So it's ahaituki. Yet what you can do is make yourself available. Make yourself like dry wood. So that when the spark of mercy comes, vroom, you're on fire. That you can do. But you can never force mercy. Because that is the prerogative of Krishna, Svatantra. Devotees. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadam nagati kutopi. If the spiritual master is pleased, Krishna is pleased. But like this, I often thought about that. What does it mean to please the spiritual master? So like you can't force someone else to be pleased with you, can you? You cannot. I can't force you to be pleased with me. That's your own emotion. But what I can do is take seriously everything you've told me, everything you want of me, everything that you've advised me and guided me in, and try to fully embody that. And then, you know what? There's a pretty good chance you'll be pleased. But even then, I can't make you to be pleased with me. So this is mercy. Just keep going to the market and selling some apples. And then one day you'll get a telephone call. Boom. It will come.
So we can. If I do become quite rich, then, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Share some with me as well.
So just for my own understanding, so mercy is unmotivated, and our spiritual masters can give us that, and we have to become like that dry wood.
Yeah.
We can do so by really attentively listening to the instructions and following.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like a book like Brihat Bhagavatamrita is very, very useful. It's, Prabhupada said, anyone, he writes in a CC purport, anyone who wants to become a Krishna conscious person should read Brihat Bhagavatamrita. He's thinking like, wow, okay, let's find out what's in there, you know? And it's very, very interesting because it's showing you, when Narada goes to the Prayag Brahman, this very clear teaching, he's every day, he's doing his puja to the Shaligram. The everyday, there you go, your first key to mercy. The everyday principle. Do it every day. Consistency. He goes to the southern king. The southern kings are all this opulence, all this amazing resource, and he's using it for Krishna. The lesson is very clear. If you want mercy, Krishna has given you so many things, abilities, resources, facilities, use it all for Krishna. He goes, no, go to Indra. You know, like this, so you go. Go to Shiva. Shiva's like, tapyante lokata pena sadhavo prayasojana paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya khilatmana. Glorify Shiva. Tapyante lokata pena. The great souls take on suffering to relieve the suffering of the conditioned souls. Paramaradhanam tadhi. There is no higher form of worship than this. This verse is coming in Bhagavatam when Lord Shiva is drinking the poison from the churning of the milk ocean. So there you go. Another key to mercy. Give the mercy out. Give the mercy out. If you give the mercy out, you attract the mercy. Expand the mercy. When knowledge is given, knowledge expands. When mercy is given, mercy expands. When bhakti is given, bhakti expands. So like this, every single person you see, there's a Uddhava, amazing secret. Have you noticed how people are always asking, how do I know how do I know the spiritual master is a pure devotee? How do I know the spiritual master, Nikunja Yuno, Ratikeli Siddhai, he's in the groves of Raja? How do I know? How will I see? So, you know, like sometimes people are putting a lot of emphasis, how do I know about the integrity of the spiritual master? But the other side of it is, what is your integrity as a disciple? And when we look at Uddhav, we look at Uddhav as someone who was trusted by Krishna. This is another secret to mercy. That conduct your life in such a way that the Vaishnavas will have faith in you. The Vaishnavas can rely on you. The Vaishnavas will look at you and say, yes, I can go to that person for anything. Because Krishna, when he wanted to send a message to Vraja, the first person he called on was Uddhav. When Krishna wanted some advice, what advice does Krishna need? But he asked, who was the first person he called? Uddhav. Because Uddhav carried himself in such a way that he could always be relied upon. There you go, another secret to mercy. Become reliable, become dependable, become someone that the Vaishnavas will go to, someone who will never say no. If you, it's difficult, so it's very easy to say, no? We'll probably come out of this class and someone will be like, Prabhu, can you do the transfer? No, I can't do it, I'm busy. But you said in the class. No is not in the word, it's not in the vocabulary. And even, sometimes they have to say no, they feel very bad. Bhaktitirtha Swami says, when your desire to serve is so great that you go beyond your capacity, when your desire to serve is so great that you go beyond your capacity but you continue without hesitation, at that moment empowerment occurs. So you see this with devotees sometimes, they go beyond what they're able to do, but because their desire to serve is so great, they can't stop themselves. even though they're going beyond capacity. But at that moment, Krishna looks and says, you know what? They want to do it. So let me help them do it then. And then some magic happens. So these are all secrets to mercy. That's why books like Brihat Bhagavatamrita are very, very useful for us. Yes, we cannot force, but we can make ourselves as much available. And the great news, Jiva Goswami says a really nice thing. He says, you know why Krishna likes to hear his own name? Interesting point. Krishna likes it when devotees chant his name. You know why? Have a guess. Why does Krishna like it when his devotees chant his name? Jiva Goswami makes this point. Yeah, go on, David. Yeah. Yeah, but why is Krishna happy? Why does Krishna get very pleased when someone chants his name?
For that purification that they will come closer to Krishna.
Okay. Yeah?
Is it because Krishna is also calling out them and they will separate?
Okay. Good.
Is it that his name is all attractive and so it attracts him as well?
These are all good answers. I'll go with Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami says the reason why Krishna loves his name to be chanted is because when he hears his name being chanted, then it gives him an opportunity to give mercy to the chanter. So Krishna is like, oh wonderful, they're chanting my name, now I can just shower them with mercy. So Krishna is, one of his central qualities is anugraha. So very compassionate, very kind. So even though we can't force Krishna's mercy, or we can't force the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we have to also be very, very hopeful that they are always looking for an opportunity to give mercy. So the bad news is, we can't control mercy. The good news is, the people who are in charge of mercy want to give it out. That's the saving grace. And our point is that we have to make ourselves available and open. So, yeah, this Krishna consciousness movement is something complete. It's a university in which you graduate not because you became a scholar, but because you became a beggar. And that's the lesson that we'll take today.
Can I ask you to ask Mother Vishaka?
Oh, yes, please, of course.
Give us an example of that sort of mercy she experienced with Akuta.
Oh, yes, that would be wonderful.
Sorry.
So I think we can end there. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Vaishnav Seva, Vaishnav Sangha ki.